Welcome to CDR Quick Take with Carbon X. This is a carbon removal market report series. My name is Eli Harrell, and I'll be your host as we have conversations with people at the leading edge of the rapidly evolving CDR markets. As an impact entrepreneur and podcast host, part of my purpose is to accelerate positive change, and I'm excited to partner with Carbon X, who facilitates the procurement of permanent carbon removal for organizations looking to reach net zero. Together, we intend with these reports to provide you more visibility and transparency into what's happening right now in CDR and carbon markets and how you can use that information. Thanks so much for being here and playing your part. Now, let's get into this week's report. Paulo, welcome back. I am excited for this week's report. There's been some big news coming out of EU Parliament. Can you talk to us a little bit about what has been happening with the CRCF and what that is?
Hi, Eli. It's a pleasure to be with you again. Yesterday, which is the 25th of October, the European Parliament or the European Environment Parliament adopted a draft report for the Carbon Removal Certification Framework, or more commonly known as the CRCF, which basically, for the very first time, gives us a very clear understanding of what is a carbon removal. It gives us with a clear definition of it, though maybe a bit narrow, of what a carbon removal is, and also provides us with clarity between and a clear delineation in between carbon removals and carbon reduction. And this will play a major role in helping companies then adopt the right course of action and identifying what are the best ways now to adopt, you know, carbon removal moving forward.
Got it. And from what I understand, you've been, you and probably anyone else that's really paying attention to this industry or embedded in it have been kind of looking for this for a while, right?
Absolutely. This is the very first time we start to see a clear international standard appear. We've had, of course, organizations come up with their own definitions, though a bit blurry. You have the SBTi that defines carbon removal as the activity of removing carbon from the atmosphere and permanently store it, but no one has yet to define what permanence is. And here, for the very first time, the EU CRCF defines permanence as several centuries, which I looked up in the dictionary is two or more. So we're looking at 2 centuries or more of sequestration for carbon removal to be accepted, deemed acceptable. And though some in the industry, which to right point would argue that is too much or too narrow of a definition, I believe that it's a step forward in the right direction, providing more clarity, which is what we've been, unfortunately, really missing in the industry. So far, we've been moving forward with reports given to us by, you know, universities like the Oxford's Net Zero Principles, which, you know, stated that we needed permanent carbon removal, but yet again, not clearly defining what permanence is. And here now we do. And so basically what happened yesterday is the European Environment Parliament adopted this draft report on the CRCF, which will then be submitted to vote to the overall European Parliament. And given the way things move forward, it should normally be the case. They will adopt it unless there is a big turn of events. And then that document will then be submitted to the European Council for another session of votes more at the end of 2024. And we might work also in adapting a bit the definition of the document.
Got it. So before we go into maybe some of the nuance of your perspective on what's good or what's, you know, what you like or what you don't like about this document, I would love to just kind of know a little bit more about, I think you touched on some of these already, and maybe some people listening would know this, but what do you see as some of the bigger underlying drivers or reasons that Parliament is now taking this serious enough to actually do something about it, to create the framework?
I believe the reason why the European Commission came up with this CRCF is to really fight greenwashing. Up until now, companies did not have a clear framework as to how to operate, how to remove one's residual emissions, how to go about, you know, adopting the right course of action when it comes to adopting a net zero strategy, so reaching net zero carbon. And now, for the very first time, we finally have a clear draft adopted by a major organization, the European Union, which will become law, giving clear guidelines for companies, you know, and giving clear indication as to what constitutes an acceptable carbon reduction and then what constitutes an acceptable carbon removal. And within that framework, now companies will be able to operate without fearing the risk of being called out a greenwasher, right, and, you know, without being scared of not being future compliant.
Very difficult to take action when you're worried that you'll get backlash for the decision you're making, right?
Exactly. And I believe, though not perfect, we now finally have a framework that allows companies to take action. We know what constitutes an acceptable carbon removal now. And so now companies can start thinking about what their strategy is.
All right. This sounds like a huge step forward. Digging into a little bit about the actual framework and the way it's being proposed right now, I was reading an article that said that some concerns have been raised about some limitations in the what's called the compromise amendments. Can you talk a little bit about sort of these details inside the document and the way you see them?
Absolutely. So maybe to think about what are the core strengths right now within that document, and then and to talk more also about some of its limitations. But in terms of clear strength and step forward, now, as mentioned, you know, we have a clear idea of what is a carbon reduction and carbon removal. And though I've been stressing that for multiple times, this is huge because it never happened. And so a lot of companies would kind of mix up their understanding. There was no clear definition of what was, you know, at least from an organization standpoint, what were the two. And so now we have that. We also have more transparency. So basically this document introduces the notion of a EU-wide registry, you know, for essential information on carbon storage, you know, and allowing its stakeholders to monitor each of those carbon removal through their life cycle. We also have stronger accountability, because that specific registry would also hold accountable, you know, its stakeholders for, you know, any possible reversal risks. So we now have the introduction of this notion as well. And finally, also, it does not directly concern carbon removal. In that specific document, there's also notions of carbon farming and storage, and as well as carbon in products. And there it also asks for these specific activities to show more positive sustainability impact, if you will.
Got it. So what are some of the implications for the industry, and who will this affect the most?
This will affect organizations operating within the European. What is, however, important to understand is that this will be kind of the very first international standard, and there is a very high chance that this standard influences others. Right. Also, as you know, the European Union with other countries works in setting up, you know, carbon border adjustment mechanisms. They're going to find ways to facilitate the interexchange of carbon removals. There should be kind of a unified carbon market. And so having kind of this first document, this will help align all markets in the future. And one thing I wanted to say also, however, on this specific document about its limitations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, the issue that we find with this current definition that is being given to us about carbon removal is that it is overly specific. And it also currently excludes promising CDR methods by adopting a very narrow definition of what constitutes a permanent carbon storage.
So certain technologies are being potentially limited. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Currently, the definition accounts only for direct air capture, bioenergy, carbon capture and storage, given that they mentioned that there is a referral of permanent carbon storage being tied to geological storage or carbon being mineralized, which we find very limiting because there are now up and coming promising technologies. If we look at ocean alkalinity enhancement or enhanced rock weathering, for instance.
Right.
That are founded in science and that would be promising venues, these should also be taken into account. They should also be explored. And by excluding them currently from the definition, this might hinder their prospect of, you know, being developed. Because these technologies require a lot of funding.
Right. So in order to improve this document, you would say that perhaps specific ways of measuring might be a better way, or keeping it open enough to where, like, specific enough that it's defined and measurable, but open enough to encourage innovation and not be so specific that it could potentially limit innovation, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. It should be dynamic by design. It should be grounded in science, and science evolves. We're finding out about new technologies, you know, almost now on a yearly basis. And so these should be taken into account, because right now it's too early to pick winners. We can't just double down on direct air capture and BECCS, right. So bioenergy, carbon capture and storage, without exploring the other, you know, alternatives. We have yet to find what is the most viable removal pathway to us. And so the idea now is to, of course, ground a definition in science. So yes, it should be permanent carbon storage, but it shouldn't limit to direct air capture and BECCS.
Cool. Well, I'm appreciative that we have people like yourself becoming experts on all these developing technologies and the markets themselves, so that there's some guidance out there for us to follow. And I hope that the people creating the legislation will also pay attention to experts like yourself. So what would be your best case? I mean, obviously, you know, just restating what we're seeing here is that this is a huge positive step forward to have some clarity and some rules that everybody has to play by, and which makes it easier for people to make decisions. What would you see as the most ideal way forward with this legislation? What are you hoping for?
What I would like is, of course, for this document to be adopted, because I think the worst thing would be that, you know, the parliament does not adopt it, and then, you know, the European Parliament will be changing next year, if I recall things properly. And so we might have new members of the European Parliament that have older initiatives in mind, that have order agendas, and they could put a stop to this. And so right now, of course, we want to support this. We want this to be adopted because this is a clear step forward for the overall industry, provides us with clarity. What I would like to happen once this document is being also studied by the European Committee is maybe the revisiting of its definition, as I was saying. I think it should open up a bit, be a bit more broad to make way for other technologies, because what we know is that these technologies hold up. There are several, you know, if we look at enhanced rock weathering, for instance, the question is not whether or not, you know, carbon removal is removed permanently. It is. And so when it comes to enhanced rock weathering, the question is more around when does the carbon removal happen? You know, what is the weathering rate? And so for us to get a better understanding of, you know, the chemical reactions, the way these technologies operate, they need funding, they need commitments today from organizations, from companies. And so we would like these definitions to open up so that companies feel inclined to fund these new technologies. Right now, a call to action is for us to, you know, explore all available pathways to us, especially the ones that are anchored in science, to make sure that, you know, we're able to identify which are the most viable removal pathways and help them scale to climate relevance. This is always the context we're working under. You know, we need 1 billion tons of carbon to be removed by 2030, 10 billion tons by 2050. If we manage to reduce our emissions by 80% globally, which is absolutely not the case, unfortunately. And so right now, we need support from organizations. We need to start identifying these technologies. And so anything that helps us get this funding towards this removal pathway is what I would like to see.
Great. Thank you for that. And when you say we, are you talking about like organizations, like buyer organizations, or who are you most talking to when you say we should be supporting and exploring
exactly
available technologies?
Organizations that have committed to reach net zero carbon, that have made pledges, that have set climate goals. All of them, of course, will need to, for these organizations, they need to first focus on reducing their carbon footprint, but they also need to also think that of how to account for their residual emissions. And these can only be removed with permanent carbon removal. And now we know that this will be eventually enforced as stated by the CRCF. So for the industry to be ready by the time they will need these removals to account for their residual emissions, we need to start investing now, because this is mostly an infrastructure industry. It requires a lot of investments to scale. And so that's the organization I am addressing myself to.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Well, Paulo, thanks for giving us an update on what's been happening, and really exciting stuff, and also some work that clearly still needs to be done. Is there anything we've missed that people should know about when it comes to what's happening right now with this framework?
Exactly. So if I were to just summarize what we discussed. So today, the CRCF got adopted by the European Environment's Parliament. This document will shape organizations' policies. It will provide us with clear guidelines as to what constitutes an acceptable carbon removal. And we now know it is, you know, an acceptable carbon removal is a carbon that is removed actively from the atmosphere or comes from biogenic sources and that is permanently stored. And permanence is defined as several centuries or 2 centuries or more. So these are the guidelines we can already start working under to make assumptions as to what our strategies should be.
Great. And from what I understand, this is very likely to pass when it's voted on November 20th, Sarah, correct?
Exactly. At the parliament level.
Cool. All right. Well, looking forward to seeing what happens from here. And until next week's report, thanks for being here.